un dios de Barcelona.
Case number 7. 23-186. Morning, both.
Good morning.
Sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name, indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Lieutenant Brian Weir from the Trumbull Police Department. My last name is Weir. It's W-E-I-R.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes, I will. The appellant turned in their pistol permit application, which disclosed the wrong birth state. The appellant failed to disclose their previous address, and the appellant checked the no box when asked if they had been arrested for any crime in any jurisdiction. A collect check, prong check, search results on the appellant showed an active, outstanding warrant for the appellant's arrest. A check in the issuing authority's in-house computer showed 10 cases involving the appellant, including motor vehicle arrest, was an assault, wanted person case. Check from the police agency where the appellant previously resided showed contacts regarding interfering with an officer, harassment, whistle of injury, complaint, all involving the appellant. The appellant turned themselves in on the outstanding arrest warrant and eventually met with me to go over the appellant's pistol permit application. During that time, a few things were clarified, but in the other areas, the appellant's version of the events did not make sense or were contradictory to the police reports. Based on the fact that the appellant did not thoroughly or accurately complete their pistol permit application, the appellant provided contradictory and misleading information to the police during even recent previous interactions to intentionally mislead police investigations, and even though there is no criminal record regarding the appellant still had ongoing criminal charges, and there appears to be a recent history of deception on the appellant's part. Therefore, the issuing authority believes that a denial of the appellant's pistol permit is warranted based on previous criminal activities, deception, and suitability.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Ma'am, would you like to make a brief opening statement? No?
Yeah.
All right. Do you live in Trumbull?
Yes, I
do. All right, Lieutenant, you may proceed with your case.
Lieutenant, is there there's pending charges now?
No.
Oh, I thought you said there were pending
there
charges.
Were.
I understood
there
that. I thought you said there were pending
correct.
Charges. Never mind. Sorry.
Okay. Yep, go ahead.
The appellant notarized their pistol permit application on March 3rd, 2022 and turned in to the issuing authority on March 9th, 2022 when they were fingerprinted and the investigation onto the appellant's background began. On the appellant's submitted application, the appellant answered the following questions. Place of birth. The appellant wrote, Connecticut. On the appellant's certification of birth, date issued on 10/13/20, shows that the appellant was born in New York, and the appellant had a mother's name of said Adeline Michelle, and had a Shelton, Connecticut mailing address. The listed list residential addresses for the last 7 years, the appellant left this section blank. Have you ever been arrested for any crime in any jurisdiction? The appellant checked the no box. Have you been convicted under the laws of this state, federal, or laws of another jurisdiction? The appellant checked the no box. Criminal history collect and prong search results in the appellant showed there was an active warrant based from the issuing authority for motor vehicle charges. There was a failure to appear warrant. There was a bond set at $750. A check in the appellant and the issuing authority's in-house computer system showed previous cases since 2012. A few of the cases related was motor vehicle arrest, where the appellant was observed failing to stop for a stop sign. Registration showed to be suspended due to insurance. The appellant was the operator, could not provide an updated insurance card or registration, and the appellant's Connecticut driver's license was also expired. The appellant was released from the scene and promised to appear in court, given a misdemeanor summons. Cases where the appellant failed to appear in court and a warrant for their rearrest was issued. On March 28th of 21, there was an assault case involving a knife. An officer of the issuing authority was detailed to an area where they met with a Marsha Michelle, who stated that her mother's vehicle had all four tires slashed. NCIC check collect on Marcia and Michelle showed no information. It was later determined that this Marcia was the appellant whose real name was learned and showed an extraditable warrant out of Shelton, Connecticut for a wrist injury for a minor. Shelton Police Department responded and took the appellant to custody. On March 31st, we have another case here. March 31st of 21 is a wanted person case issued by the issuing authority where the complainant had an active warrant out of Shelton for risk of injury to a minor. The complainant was escorted to the issuing authority's booking area where the appellant was held in a cell and eventually turned over to the Shelton Police Department. It sounds like that two cases were related. On the 4th, 30th of 2023, there was a domestic assist where the complainant, the appellant stated they took their brother's cell phone and a PlayStation because he took her phone and car keys. The brother wanted to drive the mother's vehicle, but the mother did not want him to, so the appellant took the license plate off the vehicle and the brother took the car keys. Police intervened and both items were returned to the individuals. I contacted Shelton Police Department regarding any history they had involving the appellant. Received the pertinent information. On July 22nd, 2020, there's an interfering with an officer case. A Shelton Police Department investigated theft of a firearm where the appellant's boyfriend was reported to have stolen a firearm belonging to his ex-girlfriend, which was the complainant, and then went to the appellant's residence. The ex-girlfriend followed the boyfriend to the appellant's residence and observed her ex-boyfriend go inside. Shelton Police was notified, responded to investigate. Shelton knocked on the door, and the appellant answered, denied that the boyfriend, the complainant's ex-boyfriend, was there, and allowed the officers to search the residence. Officers located a door that was locked, and the appellant stated that they did not have a key. Officers advised that due to the seriousness of the offense, they would have to force entry. The appellant then produced a key, and the boyfriend slash ex-boyfriend was located, hiding inside. However, the gun was not located. On July 27, 2020, there's a harassment case. I don't even get into all that stuff. On Wednesday, on 8/25/20, Shelton PD detective was investigating a risk of injury complaint for DCF. The appellant showed the detective text messages from the ex-girlfrend to her child's father. And the appellant was advised to contact Bridgeport Police regarding that complaint. So on Wednesday, June 1st, 2022, the appellant was advised to that the appellant had the active Prawn arrest warrant, and once the warrant is taken care of, then the appellant can coordinate a date and time to meet with me to go over the appellant's business permit application. During this time, the appellant stated that the appellant went to court, but there were never gave the appellant another court date, so the appellant was unaware of any outstanding arrest or the Prawn warrant. I advised the appellant that the warrant was from the arrest by the issuing authority for the motor vehicle charges, and their bond was $750. On Thursday, July 16th, the appellant turned themselves into the issuing authority to have the Prawn arrest warrant served, and the appellant was charged with failure to appear second degree and was released after posting the $750 bond. On Tuesday, July 21st, 2022, since the appellant did not contact me to go over their pistol permit application after they had the warrant served 5 days prior, I took the initiative to call the appellant, who then agreed to meet with me to go over the appellant's pistol permit application. The appellant eventually met with me, where I clarified the appellant was not born in New York, or I'm sorry, was born in New York and not Connecticut, as indicated under the application. I then asked that the appellant only lived at that address within the issuing authority's jurisdiction for the past 7 years and nowhere else, and the appellant stated yes. I then stated that the appellant's birth certificate has a Shelton, Connecticut address on it. The appellant then got quiet and eventually said, oh. The appellant then eventually stated that the appellant did live in Shelton within the past 7 years. I asked why the appellant did not disclose the Shelton address on the pistol permit application, and the appellant stated that their license had the issuing authority's address on it, so they lived within the issuing authority at that time, but did not provide any further information or reason why the appellant did not disclose the proper information. I asked the appellant who reported the slash tires to the issuing authority regarding the appellant's mother's car. The appellant stated that their mother, their aunt, and the appellant all came to the issuing authority to report the tire damage. I then asked again who reported the incident. The appellant stated that only two people came to the issuing authority to report the tire slashing incident. I asked the appellant who the people were, and the appellant stated that it was the appellant's brother, the appellant's aunt, and the appellant. I advised the appellant that there were three people, and the appellant's story kept changing as to who was involved. I then asked the appellant who Marcia and Michelle was, and the appellant stated that they did not know. I asked why the appellant gave the investigating officer a false name regarding themselves as Marshall Michelle. The appellant stated that they did not. The appellant then told me that they gave the officer the appellant's driver's license. I told the appellant that the officer's report stated the appellant told the officer their name was a Marshall Michelle, and it was not until later that the officer learned the identity of the appellant and there was an outstanding arrest warrant for the appellant. The appellant stated that the officer just told the appellant that the appellant had a warrant to take care of it. I told the appellant that that does not make sense because if the officer knew there was an outstanding warrant, arrest warrant, the officer would not let the appellant leave and take care of the outstanding warrant themselves, and the officer would have arrested the appellant. I asked the appellant about the Shelton arrest warrant risk of injury, and the appellant stated that the appellant's boyfriend's ex-girlfriend made untruthful allegations about the appellant, and the charges were eventually dropped. I asked the appellant about the Shelton police investigation and interfering with an officer, and the Shelton police knocked on the appellant's door of the Shelton address and asking for the appellant's boyfriend. I described the Shelton police report, but the appellant stated that the appellant did not know their boyfriend was at the house because there was two doors to the residence. I asked the appellant about the locked door that Shelton police wanted to check, but the appellant stated that the appellant's boyfriend had a key to the locked door. The appellant denied any untruthfulness and claimed the appellant did not know that the boyfriend was at the house or that the appellant claimed that they did not have access to the locked door. The appellant's version of the events did not make sense or contradictory to the police reports. The appellant denied being untruthful at every time, however the police reports stated otherwise. So based on the facts that the appellant did not thoroughly or accurately complete their pistol permit application, the appellant provided contradictory and misleading information to the police during recent previous interactions to intentionally mislead the police investigations, and even though there was no criminal record regarding the appellant, the appellant still had an ongoing criminal charges, failure to appear. There appears to be a history of deception regarding the appellant to include the background investigation for the appellant's pistol permit. Therefore, the issuing authority believes that a denial of the appellant's pistol permit is warranted based on previous criminal activities, deception, and suitability. Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Ma'am, do you have any questions for the Lieutenant based on what he just testified to?
I don't have any questions, but as for the...
Well, you'll have a chance to explain your side, but do you have questions? Does the board have questions for the Lieutenant?
I just have one. Lieutenant, at the time of her application, were there other pending charges other than the outstanding motor vehicle prong arrest?
No.
Okay. The other ones had all been resolved prior to her application?
Correct.
And no convictions?
Correct.
From those, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So when she applied, she just had the active prong warrant?
Correct.
What's a prong warrant?
It's an arrest warrant.
Oh. Is it different from another warrant?
It's not up on a piece of paper, it's on a computer.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's common.
Should I explain a little bit what a prong warrant is?
Sure.
So a prong warrant is like, if you get arrested for shoplifting and then you get released, mm-hmm. okay, and then you have to go to court. You never show up for court, so that's a failure to appear. The court issues the warrant, so mm-hmm. So you got to appear to court for that larceny charge.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, Lieutenant, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Okay, ma'am, it's your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
Just as for the warrant, I did not know I had the warrant. I didn't get any paper information regarding me having to go to court, so that's the reason why I did it. And when I did find out, that's the reason why I did go in and turn myself in. As for everything else, I just got in the middle of something that I had no idea was going on. My son's father came to see our son and apparently was followed by his girlfriend at the time. She called the cops stating that I had a pistol in my apartment, which was hers. I let them come search. My son was also in the house. My son's father told me that he was leaving, that he was taking my keys, so that's why when they asked me to open the door downstairs, I told him I didn't have the key. I went back upstairs and noticed that he didn't take the key, and I went back to open the door downstairs.
Do you have questions for the appellant?
I do not.
Does the board have questions for the appellant?
How did, again, would you just run through that key incident again? They showed up at your residence.
Okay, so my son's father came to visit our child, which he usually did. He usually works out of state. So on the weekends, he comes and visit my son. He was followed by his girlfriend at the time. She called the cops, basically. I have a text message, which I showed DCF. She gets mad. She, you know, calls DCF and states that, you know, I abused my child and so forth. As for that, they asked me if they could come and search, and I let them search. And we have a storage unit downstairs which has our washer and dryer.
Were you aware he was there?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I told him he was there.
Okay.
I showed him his stuff that was in the corner, and I told him that he left because she basically, you know, it's basically harassed him. They came in and they also searched downstairs, the basement. They searched everywhere. I did live in a condominium that had four other tenants. So when they did go downstairs, they did say it was locked. I did tell him that I didn't have the key because he stated that he was going to take the key. Went back upstairs and found the key, and I opened the door for them.
So were you aware he was hiding down there?
I wasn't aware because also to get down to the back, I have a door in the kitchen and a front door. He went back from the back door, and it also leads to the basement downstairs. So there's an outside door there also.
So were you aware he was... He came into the residence?
He did come. I told him he was there, and
yep.
He left.
Okay.
I did explain that he left. And that's what I did when they brought everything to search the dogs.
Okay.
I told them this is his stuff, and that's how they went about it.
And he was inside a storage locker?
It was a storage. It's a storage downstairs in the basement.
And what kind of lock is on it?
Is it just a regular.
Like a door lock?
Yeah.
So he could lock it from the inside?
Yeah.
So what?
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, any other witnesses, ma'am?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Just, I'm not a confrontational person. I'm not a bad person. I'm just a single mom. I'm just trying to protect me and my son, and that's it.
Okay. Lieutenant, would you like to make a closing statement?
After the issuing authority concluded that their background investigation involving the appellant's pistol permit was denied on June 23rd, 2022. This denial was based on the facts that the appellant did not thoroughly or accurately complete their pistol permit application. The appellant provided contradictory and misleading information to the police during previous interactions to intentionally mislead police investigations. And even though there was no criminal record regarding the appellant still had an ongoing criminal charges. There appears to be a history of deception regarding the appellant. The issuing authority believes that the denial of the appellant's pistol permit is warranted based on previous criminal activities, deception, and suitability.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Colonel Refectual.
Sure. This is a denial by the Trumbull Police Department. The denial is for suitability. At the time the appellant applied for a pistol permit, she had an active rearrest warrant. For motor vehicle charges, which she subsequently, when she found out about, turned herself in, and it seems that those charges were either dismissed or nollied. On her application, under her place of birth, she wrote Connecticut instead of New York. It looks like she amended that, or the lieutenant amended that with an initial. And she also failed to list her previous address in a neighboring town. The lieutenant from Shelton discussed several incidents in which the appellant was involved in investigations from other towns and also their town. The appellant has no criminal history. Any and all charges seem to have been dismissed.
Thank you. Comments by the board.
It becomes very tough to review a case when there's multiple incidents. It does seem we do not have a criminal record. But based on the what's been presented, that'll kind of determine how I vote on this one.
Other comments? Seeing none. Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overture.
Issuing authority at this time.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority at this time.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority at this time.
And chair votes issuing authority at this time. It's 5-0 in favor of the issuing authority. Thank you both.